This is a message from the audio library of Revival Tabernacle. It is our hope that it will inspire your confidence in our holy God and the plan of salvation as revealed in His holy scriptures. The blessings of Christ be upon you as you listen.
Chapter 7, as we get ready to begin, I'd like to read the page that we have here. Page 23, we believe that the method ordained of God to sustain His ministry and the spread of the gospel after His command is tithing, and is generally accepted throughout Christendom not only as God's method to take care of the material and financial needs of His church, but to raise the spiritual morale of His people to the extent that God must bless them. We are commanded in Malachi 3:10 to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. In the matter of giving and free will offerings, they are ordered of the Lord and practiced in the General Association of Remnant Churches as part of God's plan for the support of the church's material needs. We are admonished in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Being joint heirs with Him, we know that giving unto His kingdom, which is also ours, is an enjoyable thing, it being more blessed to give than to receive. For we are commanded in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a peace continually, a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth, or the tenth, of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises, and with all contradiction the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Tithes and offerings. We operate in this world according to the principles of two kingdoms. And that means that there's the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And if you've paid any attention to any news programs in the past year and a half, you know they've been crying about jobs and recessions and great depressions and all of these things, and folks are nervous about money and jobs and what they're going to do. But remember, as Christians, we look at the world differently than people who do not know God. We don't even approach death the same. Paul said to the Thessalonians, we don't mourn like people that don't know God. And it's the same way when we look at things related to money and things related to jobs. The folks in this world, for the most part, look to the government for all kinds of assistance and things of that nature. But we understand that in the kingdom of God, there are basic principles that do not change, that no matter where you go on this earth, There are things established that work in every country. Jesus said in Genesis 9 that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will be here. Anywhere on this planet you go, the sun goes up and the sun sets. Somewhere it gets warm, somewhere it gets cold. Somebody plants, somebody receives a harvest. When we think of the tithe, we have to think of the tithe in the same way. The tithe in the sense that it is a tenth of what God has blessed us with that we turn around and return unto him. The scripture says in Malachi chapter 3, and you may turn there if you'd like to, in Malachi 3, you see that the tithe is connected to blessing. Malachi is immediately before the book of Matthew. And in chapter 3, verse number 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. He says, prove me or test me. Here is one occasion where the Lord tells you to test this principle and see whether or not it actually works. And he says in verse 10, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Many people that are believers miss out on great blessings of God because they do not tithe and because they do not give offerings. And though they think that it's not a serious matter, the discussion begins with the question, will a man rob God? And the answer is yes. People will steal from God. They'll borrow from God. They'll take from God with the expectation that God will not be grieved at what they do. But as you can see in verse 10, tithes are connected to blessing. And I can assure you that none of us in here have given God anything that is equal to the amount of blessings that we've received in our life. And you consider the things he's done for us, the little that he has asked in return is insignificant when you compare it with what he has done for each one of us. If I had an apple up here, and we'll do it this way. If I had an apple in my hand and I sliced that apple open, you know, all of us could look and count the number of seeds inside the core of that apple. Whether there would be 2 seeds, 4 seeds, or 6 seeds, however many seeds, you would actually be able to count them so that in the apple you are able to count the number of seeds. But you take one of those seeds and you plant it in the ground, you could never count the number of apples that could come from that one seed, you see? So although you can count the number of seeds in the apple, you are unable to count the number of apples that can come from one seed. Think of that. So when we consider tithes and when we consider offerings as a return unto God of what belongs to him, we soon discover this is a matter of stewardship. The way we handle finances. And Jesus said the man or woman that's not faithful with what in the gospel is called mammon, said if we're not faithful with mammon, how can God entrust us with the greater riches of things related to the kingdom of God? So as a steward, stewardship defines only one of the occupations that should require our attention as believers. The scripture says that we're to be ambassadors. It means you represent Christ wherever you go. I represent Jesus wherever I go. It says that we're to pray without ceasing. We should have a prayer life where we spend time talking with God, fellowshipping with him in prayer. Also, the scripture says to bless those and love those that don't like you. That's part of our ministry as a Christian, to not return evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good, as the Bible says. At the same time, the scripture says, do all of your labor as unto the Lord. Wherever you work, you have to work on your job as if what you are doing for the Lord, because you are. You have to act as though Jesus is your employer. Though you may have a devil that's in charge of you and doesn't act right, you are still required to do your work as though it is the Lord himself, because he is the one that has blessed you with the occupation that you have, which makes it possible for you to take care of your family. And then the scripture says that he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from evil. and that we should not speak evil. And the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Well, all of this is important, but at the same time, we have to recognize that alongside all of those other things I just noted, tithes and offerings are still important in the kingdom of God. The Bible gives us a number of parables of stewards and their business, and we learn about those that are faithful and wise. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. It's important to recognize that you should want to be faithful and wise with the things that God has given to you. You can be faithful and not be wise. And it is possible for someone to know to do better, but not be faithful and do it. And the scripture says, to him that knows to do good, but does not do good, to him it is sin. In Luke chapter 12, notice in verse number 22, the Lord says, don't take any thought for your life. Don't be worried about what kind of clothes you're going to put on. He said, because your body is more than clothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. He says, take a lesson in verse 24 from the ravens. He says, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store in a barn, but God feeds them. Aren't you better than them? So he said, these little blackbirds that we see flying overhead all the time here, that are constantly looking for carrion and all kinds of carcasses and things on the earth, even they are fed. They don't drive a tractor, and they're not going to put anything in a grain bin. But the Lord says he takes care of them, and he says, you are much better than those birds are, the fowl of the air, because you have a relationship with him, and you're human. So he goes on and says, in verse 25, even if you start thinking about these things, can you add a cubit to your stature? You can't change how tall you are. You can't change the condition of your life just by thinking about that like that and worrying about it. He said in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. But he say, I tell you that Solomon is not arrayed like any one of these. So if God is able to clothe the grass which is here today and gone tomorrow, don't you think he can take care of you, O you of little faith? So what's the prescription he gives? He says in verse 29, he says, seek not what ye shall eat or what you shall drink. Don't be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world look for. But in verse 31, seek the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. See, we have it in reverse. Christians are constantly looking for materials of the world. They're wanting to go after the things of this world. Everything entices them. The commercials are all about drawing you into different scenarios when the scripture says very plainly, seek the kingdom first. Put the business of God before the business of this world, and God will take care of all these other things. But I hear all the time people say, well, I seek the kingdom of God, and it just seems like I've got one problem after another. But then when you talk with people, you realize they're really not seeking the kingdom at all. They have very little time for God. They give very little time to God. Very little of their energy is given to God. But so much of their time is spent with the things of this world, and their resources are given to the things of this world. So the Bible says in verse 32, don't be afraid, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the principles of tithe and offering, the principles of loving your neighbor, the principles of being faithful and wise are principles in the kingdom that God wants to give to people who work and walk with him. The rest of the chapter here is giving us scenarios of people that are faithful. Verse 37, blessed are the servants whom when the Lord cometh shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to eat, and I will come forth to serve them. You realize part of tithing and giving offerings unto God, that shows your faithfulness in the kingdom of God as a servant. But when you take the position that you can do what you want with your monies and you don't need to tithe to God, that you're not a faithful steward nor a faithful servant. In fact, Malachi calls that person a robber or a thief. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand the difficulties and the things that I pass through and all the things that I have. That don't have anything to do with me. The Bible simply says one thing. We have to believe what the Bible says, or we're going to end up in trouble. We're going to end up in trouble in our conscience. We're going to end up in trouble when it comes to the things of God. So Peter asks the question in verse 41. He says, Lord, you're talking about these scenarios. He said, are you speaking in a parable just to us, or are you talking to everybody? So he asked the question. Jesus says, who is a faithful and wise steward? See, that's what we want to be today at the end of this message. Faithful and wise. Not just faithful, but wise. Not just wise, but faithful. You can be a very faithful person who comes to church all the time and who's faithful to read the Bible and faithful to be nice to your family, but yet still not have any wisdom at all. And you can be a person that is wise and seems like you make a whole lot of good sense when you talk and say a lot of nice things, but not be faithful in anything. So Jesus says in verse 42, who is then that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler of his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So I'm doing my best as a pastor to be faithful to discharge my duties to teach the word of God, because I understand that one day I've got to meet him. And when I stand before him, I would like him to say, well done, you good and faithful servant. And I would love for him to be able to say that about all of us when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our relationship with God. It's surprising to me the number of people who want an increase in blessings and an increase in their monies, but they desire to decrease their giving. So here somebody makes $100 a week. They give $10 to God, give the tithe out of that. Nothing on top of that, no offerings or nothing, but just a tithe. That's just enough to keep God happy. If then they want to increase, they say, God, give me more money. God blesses them with more money, but they don't even want to increase their tithe. They don't want to give more according to what God has given them. And we wonder many times why it is that, as it says in Haggai chapter 1, we work to earn wages only to put it in a bag with holes in it. Think about that. So the harder we work, the more we slave, the less we have to show for it. That's the body of Christ today, all across America. That is the body of Christ. There are some keys, though, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there are some keys to increase. 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Now, I have no idea on this earth, though I'm surrounded by all these farmers out here, how much seed it takes to sow an acre. But I got enough sense to know that if you don't sow seed accordingly, you're not going to get a pretty good harvest. And if you're skimpy on the seed and selfish on the seed, then it's not going to be a nice harvest at all. And Paul understood the principle certainly, and he said, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And this is what I think has hurt a lot of people. If you sow, you know, in a very large measure, you'll receive that back. The scripture says, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. That means you're faithful to God. God will touch the hearts of people to give into your bosom if you are faithful to do the things that you're supposed to do. But this is a supernatural and a spiritual thing. Because the Bible says God doesn't love a person who doesn't give cheerfully as they should. God honors a cheerful giver. If you give grudgingly in the sense that, well, now I got to tithe because the pastor talking about money, you see. Oh, we got to give a special offering to somebody because that preacher up there talking about we need to give and help bless somebody. See, if you have that attitude, you're going nowhere. In fact, you're already at a dead end. And the only person unhappy at that dead end is you, because you're not going to drag me down there with you. I'm not driving down that road. Because you have to understand the principle that if you give to God and give to others, it comes back to you. If you're selfish and you're stingy and you have a good conscience and sleep very well at night, even though you robbed God, you're in a place I don't want to be. And I can only tell you that the next place you ought to be in is a place of repentance. A place of repentance. That's so important. So in Haggai, the people of Israel had a difficulty because they themselves did not want to help build the temple after the captivity. They came back out of captivity into the land of Israel. They came into the land of Israel and focused more on building their own homes than they did on restoring the temple. So God asked the question, is this a time for you to build your own house, or is this a time for you to build a place for my name to be glorified in worship? And so he said, because you put me second, he said, you work and you earn wages just to put your money in a bag with holes and you never have enough, is what he said. Now you might think that when it comes to giving to God and being faithful to God, that the believer, you know, has far more leeway with that tithe than we often think. But I disagree with you. The tithe belongs to God. It's not something that belongs to you. And when God blesses you with employment to be able to give back to him, he wants us to be faithful. See, many of us have gifts and talents, but we oftentimes shy away from our gifts and our talents and things like that to do things that we prefer. But what we prefer is not always as profitable, you see. What we prefer is not always as profitable. You can be gifted in a certain area, and that's what's going to bring blessing to you. One of these trips I recently was on, I was with some elders of a church, and one of the elders, as we were riding in the car, he was lamenting the fact that one of his parishioners hadn't worked in 2 years and was about to get thrown out of the house, and the kids didn't hardly have anything, and the wife had come to the elder and was talking to him about the husband, asking him, could he please talk to her husband because they're getting ready to be thrown out, but he wants to be a salesman, okay? And so this elder was talking about that, and he was explaining it to me, and he said, now, Pastor Darrell, he said, I taught salesmen for years. And he said, this guy does not have the ability to be a salesman. He said, he has no expression on his face at all. He's the saddest person you've ever met in your life, never happy at all. You can't sell goods that way. But the reason this guy wants to be a salesman, he was talented as a carpenter. But he didn't want to be a carpenter because he got tired of working 12-hour days. But now he wants to be a salesman because he can be in charge of his own schedule. See? So now he's in charge of his own schedule, but he's about to lose his house, he's about to lose his family, and he's unable to take care of his kids because he wants to do not what he's gifted and talented to do, but what he prefers to do. And it's not about preference all the time in the kingdom of God. It's about doing what God has gifted and blessed you with the ability to do. And when you do that, good things come out on the other end. When you don't do that, difficulties emerge. And they arise quickly. They come up like a storm, just like that. The weather around here, it changes in a heartbeat. And it's not always changing for the better. So the ability to come in on a Sunday or any day of the week, and to give God his tithe and to give offerings, that's an act of thanksgiving. So we say to the Lord, Father, thank you for blessing us as you have. And we appreciate the way that he has been able to do that. I've seen people, as a pastor, several churches, I've seen people that will avoid church services just so they don't have to tithe. Isn't that crazy? Just so they won't have to tithe, won't come to church so they won't have to tithe, and then slide back into church with no forethought at all, or trying to catch up on tithes, nothing like that. Just want to slide back in and just do the things that they want to do. I haven't where they come to church and don't want to tithe and want to prophesy. You say, Pastor, what do you do? I say, sit down. Who in the world wants you prophesying to me with an oral word if you can't obey that written word? If you can't do what is simple right here that says, bring unto me what belongs to me, now you want to prophesy to everybody else about everything they're supposed to do. I said, oh, no, 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 we don't do that here. We don't do that here. We believe in being faithful to God. Now, the wonderful thing about the way things work around here, I have nothing to do with the finances. So the only way I would ever know if somebody's not tithing is if somebody comes to me and says to me, well, I'm just not tithing. Oh, I'm glad you let me know that. I appreciate that, because now I know how I'm going to respond on the basis of that. You see, if I as a pastor can be faithful and my wife, then at the same time, no less for anybody when it comes to the things related to the church. If you borrowed money from a bank, see, and you bought you a car, and then you decided you didn't want to pay that bank, and then somebody came out there the next morning to get in that car only to realize that car has been repoed. See, you'd be mad. But see, we take advantage of God because we know God's not exactly like that. He's not going to come down in the middle of the night and start taking stuff. But I will tell you this, the loss of character normally leads to a loss of lifestyle. And when you find people that are not faithful and wise in their character, then pretty soon you're going to see a change in things when it comes to the lifestyle. The adversary comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. He has one plan, and that's to see everybody in here filing bankruptcy. That's his desire. He wants to see that. So the scripture says, owe no man nothing but to love him. But then the scripture says, pay what you owe. So I counsel people, look, you don't have to always take the easy way out. I mean, I know it took a while to dig yourself in that hole. And it might take a while to dig yourself out. But I don't know if the answer is always to just go foul, you see. Maybe at times, medical things and stuff like that, I understand that. But it's so easy to be faithful, but not at the same time to not be wise. To tithe and to bring offerings into the house of God ensures that there's excess money in reserve to be able to assist the orphan as well as the widow. You read in Corinthians about the helps ministries. You know, it costs money to have helps ministries. We come into the sanctuary week after week, but it costs money to keep an air conditioner going. It costs money to do that. There are people that'll go to a church and sit and complain about it being too hot, but won't give a quarter to help keep the air going. But they'll complain about it, you see. They'll cry and complain about the songbooks, but let the kids rip the pages out of every one of them, then get mad when the pages are gone and somebody says turn to 135, and there is no 135. The helps ministries require finances. So in the local church, as everybody tithes and offers and is faithful to God, it makes it possible when that widow is having a difficulty in her life, then a church can be there to be a blessing. It makes it possible when things have to be changed and decorated and all these kinds of things. That if the resources are there, people can be blessed by it. Now, when we started here, we were fortunate that we had people that had a heart for ministry early on. We started the church. And so immediately people were looking for a place for us, and people understood immediately when we started the church that you had to have tithers. If you don't have people that tithe, how are you going to have a minister, you see? How would you have a pastor? How would you have a congregation? And so folks were faithful in that regard. And because of that, God has blessed immeasurably multitudes of people just because of their own faithfulness. If we do the things that God acts and requires of us to do, then we at the same time can expect nothing but blessing to come for us. I sleep good every night knowing that when it comes to our giving, we make sure that we're faithful to give as we're supposed to. So I have the expectation that God is faithful. I've met a lot of people that, when it comes to that, they just, well, look, I'm just as good as the preacher, he ain't all this, and I don't need to give all that in the church. You know what, I'm going to tell you this. It's about a principle. It's never about that. It's about a principle. The principle is, whether we were all gathered here as a church, or I was in another state, or you were at another church, you know what? You'd still have to tithe. And so would I. There's no place you're going to be able to go as long as you name the name of Jesus Christ that you are not going to be required to tithe. And you can have it in your head, well, I heard so-and-so say, well, I can just sit at home and I can do such and such with my money. So-and-so is going to get you in trouble. Search throughout the entire Bible, you'll find everywhere in that New Testament where there was a Christian, they were connected with a fellowship. Where there's a fellowship, they were setting aside as God had blessed them and brought that blessing into the kingdom of God. People will say, well, hold on now, isn't tithing in the Old Testament and under the law? Yes, it is under the Old Testament, but it did not come with Moses' law. Tithing came all the way, you can go way back to Abraham and you'll find it. 400 and some odd years before there was a Moses, there was Abraham who went to battle and came and paid to Melchizedek the priest tithes of everything that he received out of the war. So that the scripture says, as we read in Hebrews chapter 7, Levi was in the loins of Abraham. So when Abraham paid tithes of Melchizedek, Levi, the tribe of Levi, was in the loins of Abram paying tithes to their high priest. So God established with the 12 tribes, one tribe received no land and no inheritance. Those were the preachers, the priests. The priests lived of the tithes of the children of Israel. If the children of Israel did not pay tithes, then the temple didn't function. The temple couldn't operate. They would not have had a high priest at all. So when someone tells you that in the New Testament tithing is no longer an issue, they're deceptive. Because the scripture is plain. As long as we ourselves are children of Abraham by faith, we have to pay our tithes to our high priest, which is Jesus Christ. And whenever we gather together in a local assembly, the body of Christ brings their tithes to the house of God in type, giving it to our high priest. And as long as you're alive on this earth and have breath in your body, we should rejoice that we have an opportunity to give to God. I can assure you, with an unemployment rate that's nearly 10%, there are a whole lot of people wish they had a job to give to God. Anything you earn, anything I inherit, anything you find, anything that's given to me, a penny out of every dime goes to God. A dime out of every dollar belongs to God. A dollar out of every 10 belongs to God. A 10 out of every 100 belongs to God. $100 out of every 1,000 belongs to God. The more money that God blesses you with, that is then not the time to begin to look at that money and say, that's too much money to be given to God. You weren't complaining when all you had was $20 to tithe. But now because God's giving you $2,000 to tithe, now you start saying, whoa, that's just too much money for me to have to be given. Well, you work by that principle, you're going to work yourself right out of that blessing that God's given to you. So it's the manner in which blessings are extended in the church to help people that are having difficulty. It's the manner in which the clergy is to be fed and blessed for their spiritual labors. I've told you this before. This is what I hear when somebody says to me, they don't believe in tithing. You know, I hear this a lot with folks in other churches and things like that. They're complaining about, you know, all this stuff. And when I hear somebody say they don't believe in tithing, this is what I hear. Pastor Darrell, I hope you starve to death. I hope you're unable to take your wife out for a meal. I hope you're unable to buy a dress for your wife. I hope that church can't pay its bills. See, that's what happens when a person says that they don't believe in tithing. But I've said this about miracles. Everybody believes in miracles. Who say they don't believe in miracles, they will when they need one. And I remember Brother Clendenin one time said he was over in Russia, and he said he was trying to get the Russian bishops to come over to understand tithing and how the principle operates so that the preachers could be better cared for. And this one bishop was saying, it's not in the New Testament, it's under the Old Covenant, and we're not going back under the law with you. He said, we don't believe in that. And so a couple of days later, they were needing monies to buy sound equipment in that church for the Russian folks over there. And so the Russian bishop asked Brother Clendenin if the School of Christ would be able to purchase all the equipment that they need. And Brother Clendenin had explained to him, the only way we'd be able to buy that equipment for you is I'd have to dip into that tithe money, and you don't believe in tithes. So since you don't believe, and I can't reach into that resource and help bless you since you don't believe in it. And that's an amazing principle to me, that so many people will say that they're not for it and they don't believe in it, but want to reap the benefits off of other people's faithfulness when it comes to the local church. So as Christians, we need to encourage one another in this very important thing. Anybody that will rob God in this area will steal from God and other people in other areas. Don't you ever mistake that. Anybody that'll try to talk you out of giving tithes to God is somebody that'll start robbing from God in other areas of life. I don't have any doubt there. So we have to learn it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. As the scripture declares, 90% of our monies that are blessed is far better than 100% of our monies that are cursed. So I'll give you two practical things that you'll need to know when it comes to tithing. Number one, never count the tithe in your budget. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. So when you're looking at your salary and what you bring home, don't ever count that 10% as something that belongs to you. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. The reason we think it belongs to us is we labor under the impression that we can do what we want with God's money at any time we want without ever having to suffer any consequences. You know as well as I do, if you show up at your job late too many times, you're going to get fired. Somebody's going to say something about it. But, oh, nobody thinks about that when it comes to, you know, serving God or things like that. We know when it comes to God, God's a God of grace. So we start thinking the same way when it comes to how God blesses us. The only thing God has to do is wink his eye and blessings start disappearing. See, he don't have to stretch forth his hand, you see. So never count the tithe as part of your budget. The second thing is, rebuke anybody or any voice that says to you, let's use God's tithe for something else. Rebuke anybody or any voice that says to you, you know, it'll be all right this month if we just take God's money. We just rob from Paul over here and pay Peter. We just take God's money here. We just start rebuking the devil immediately. Immediately, because you're headed for trouble. You say, why? Because the first time you do it, you're going to be struggling, your conscience. The second time you do it, pretty soon you're doing it, don't even bother you no more. See? Now you're in trouble. You're in trouble. It don't even bother you. So rebuke any voice. God will always take care of you. Remember the story of Elijah? The Bible says that God told him it's not going to rain. He said, go hide yourself at the brook Cherith. So he goes to the brook. He stays there. God feeds him. The ravens come every day, bring them something to eat. But the scripture said pretty soon the waters started, you know, drying up. The pond got smaller. When it got to where there's no more water left, God said, go visit a widow woman of Zarephath. What does that mean? Just because provision ceases over here, that doesn't mean God doesn't have provision for you over here. You have to be willing to move to where the provision is. And as God blesses you, you walk in that direction. If you do that, you end up with a very good situation, and God blesses the entirety of the family. So never count the tithe in your budget. And secondly, rebuke anybody and any voice that says to you, you ought to be able to take that tithe. Because ultimately, most important thing is when you say you don't believe in tithing, you're saying you don't believe God. You don't believe God will take care of you. You don't believe God will provide for you. He will. Now, let me just say a few other things here, and then we'll be done. There's nothing wrong with giving to charities, but you need to know that giving to charities is not to be considered part of your tithe. And although charities are a write-off, and people like those things for income tax purposes, you need to know that these things can never take the place of tithing. The Cancer Society is something good to support. And I think it's nice if you give to support the firemen, you give to support the sheriffs and all of these different things. These things are important. but never try to marry all of that with tithing. What a church does and what God does is different than what the firemen do. Everybody else, this is all spiritual. We marry, we bury, we baptize. We teach the eternal word of God. We share in the things that God has blessed us with. So you don't take the charity over there that's secular and make that like tithing because you're giving towards that. I think the children of Israel would have ran into difficulty if the high priest would have called the heads of the tribes and the tribe, the chief of Naphtali, Dan, Judah, Manasseh, and all of them would have showed up and they would have said, Brother Moses, Brother Aaron, I know that the money's been kind of funny a little bit. It's been coming in slow, but we just want you to know it's not that we haven't had the money and hadn't been using it to a good end. We've been helping support that new Hittite drug and rehab program. See, that just wouldn't go over well in the children of Israel, and it doesn't go over well in a local church. No matter who has instructed you on this, you have to understand the Bible never affords the belief that the Christian can take God's tithe and put it somewhere else. See, even when it comes to TV and radio preachers, and we're on radio, the people watching television, that TV preacher, they're not a local church. And there are a lot of Christians that sit at home because they don't want to go to a local church and they send their tithes to some kind of ministry on television. But here's my thinking. That man you're sending it to on television, when you get sick, he's not going to call you. He's not going to come visit you. And Pastor Darrell has gotten phone calls from people who don't want to be part of any local church because they think everybody in local churches are all screwed up and they're pretty perfect and they don't have any problems. And when I get that phone call and they say, well, you know, they just put me in the hospital. You better call John Hagee. Yeah, that preacher you watch all of, you better give him a call. Give that pastor a call. Well, I'm calling you. No, you're not calling me. I'm not your pastor. You need to call somebody that you're sending all your money to. Because we've got this thing so screwed up now that people in the body of Christ are robbing God, robbing their local churches, and creating one difficulty after another. I told a couple one time, going to a Methodist church, they're complaining about giving at their church and there's no money in the church. I said, well, does anybody preach on tithing there? They said, oh, God, no, this is the 21st century. Can't talk about tithing. I mean, we got elderly people in that church and we got young people don't even have jobs. We can't tell these people to tithe. Well, then the church will close then. What do you expect? I mean, if you that go there won't be faithful in this regard, how can you expect God to turn around and say, okay, I'm going to continue to do great things for you? So these kinds of foolish ideas are what is behind so much of the lack of funds that's connected with many churches today. I have no doubt with as much money as it costs to have young people in high school today and in college and the things that go on throughout all of our communities, if everybody in here or in some other place, and I'm not asking you to do it, but you know, if we all went 6 months to 9 months without having to eat out, without having to gas up the car to drive to 15 games within a three-day period, if all of that we just said, this year we're not going to do that, do you know we'd have money to complete that building? Yeah. Gas alone would pay for it. Yeah. But I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just simply making the statement. We live in a world that pulls on us from every angle. You got them beautiful grandkids, you see. You got those wonderful children. Sometimes they live afar. You've got vacation time, family things that you have to do together. These things cost a whole lot of cash. But make sure that what you do in your relationship with God, that you don't rob from Him in order to do these other things. And God will continue to do wonderful things and bless you. I have no doubt about that. Testimony after testimony we've heard and seen through the years in our churches of people who at one time did not believe in tithe or did not tithe, or maybe nobody ever told them. Then they found out, learned through the word, and God prospered and blessed. I think there are a lot of stories in here right now that if I wanted to, I could just work all the way back from when we started as a church and just look at how God has blessed so many people because of their faithfulness and walking with God. I had a pastor friend. I tried to encourage him in this, and he tried to tell me, he said, he just don't believe in tithing. He didn't want to preach that to his people. He worked a regular job, bivocational, have no problem with that, have a lot of respect for anybody that can do this and at the same time do another 8 to 10 or 12 hour job. I have nothing but respect for him. God had fortunately just made it so that we don't have to. But I said, you need to preach to your people about that. He said, well, I don't want to put that burden on. I said, it's not about a burden. It's about a principle. See, it's about a principle. You are keeping these folks from being blessed by not teaching that. And so he felt like, well, it's not a problem at all. But, you know, you get older, then you retire, and then that money starts getting cut in half or a third or fourth or whatever it is. And then you get close and you realize, okay, I hadn't been teaching these folks how to tithe. So now he's thinking, well, what am I going to do now as I get older? So now he's trying to introduce tithing to his people. But see, if I was sitting in that pew, I'd know exactly what that was. He knows he's hitting that winter year, and now he's wanting to make sure that money is there to take care of him as he getting ready to get older. But I told him from the beginning, you ought to preach to your people tithing because it's the right thing to do. See, it's the God thing to do. And for me not to teach this and say this would be to rob everybody in here of things that God would love to do with you. So important for us to be faithful to God. Because as I said, whether we believe it or not, that little bill that has George Washington on it may seem insignificant. But a man or woman that can't be faithful with that, with Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, I'm telling, they're going to be unfaithful in a lot of other areas. A lot of other areas. Let's all stand.
You have been listening to Pastor and Evangelist Daryl Sutton. For more information, you may write to P.O. Box 362, Red Cloud, Nebraska, 68970. Again, the address is P.O. Box 362, Red Cloud, Nebraska, 68970. We appreciate your taking the time to listen. God bless you, and may the Lord continue to enrich you through His Word.